Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined by top London radio DJ and certified Japanophile, Donnie, Mr. Pete Donaldson. How you doing, Pete?
That's not allowed. That's a bit naughty, that is, Chris.
Donnie. It's his old nickname from school.
Yeah.
When he got bullied for that.
You little school bully. What a naughty little boy. Chris, I've got a bone to pick with you, mate.
Right.
You recommended a little while ago a restaurant that your Japanese friend said was very good in London. Now, I went on the website. Yeah. You couldn't book on the website. You had to call them. But I didn't book. I thought, it'll be fine. If they haven't got, like, a booking system on the website, it'll be fine. So I turned up with a lady, tried to get in, and they wouldn't let us in because they didn't have a booking, and the man was rather rude. So I'm laying this all at your door, Chris Broad, with your terrible restaurant recommendations.
It was probably your scruffy haircut, mate. Your scruffy appearance.
Yeah, to be fair, a lot of Japanese businesses, they don't have an online booking system. Certainly in London, all of the Japanese restaurants, the Okonomi restaurant I really like, all of the karaoke places and stuff, it's all on the phone. It's all in half Japanese, half English. It's all quite difficult to do. But I've got my eye on that restaurant, and at one point I will go to that darn restaurant and I will enjoy myself. Because it does, to be fair, it does look very good.
I don't even remember recommending a restaurant again. I don't know where this has come from. I think you've made it up again, doing something in my name.
I don't
recall. I was reading some news today about something. As you know, Japan has this obsession with school that I find we don't really have in the UK that much. There's not that many TV shows or things about school.
No, I mean, we had Grange Hill, didn't we, for a bit, and that stopped.
We did,
That's about it, really.
But in Japan, it's like every manga, every anime, everything, it seems to be about school
Do you think that people have such a rough time at work with, you know, stress and long hours? I've got a couple of mates who, they had a really good time at school where they were cock of the walk, they were the man or woman, and they really enjoyed school, and so that they talk about school a lot, and all of their stories are about what happened at school, and it was a long time ago now, and they keep reminiscing about, you know, do you remember when this happened, do you remember that happened, because they're not making new memories because they're just stressed out and the real world is quite difficult, so maybe there's a little bit of escapism there.
I think so. I think in Japan, school represents innocence to some extent, right? It's a sort of...
They're perverts as well. let's make that very clear.
No, absolute perverts. Not like that. Although that is what the article's about. You know which article it is, right?
Oh, is this the secret love letter?
Yes. Japanese teacher gives secret love letter to junior high school girl. Gets his heart broken. I love that. What a title.
Yeah, see,
sounds like a plot out of an anime.
Exactly. It does sound like a plot out of an anime. But the thing that I like is, in any other part of the world, it'd be a Japanese teacher. So this is how it goes in Japan. Or on the Japan Interest news story. Japanese teacher gives secret love letter to junior high school girl, gets his heart broken. Anywhere else in the world, that would be Japanese teacher gives secret love letter to junior high school girl, goes to prison. That's how that would end. Anywhere else in the world.
What do you do? So there was this guy, a teacher at a school in Hyogo Prefecture near Kobe, the city of Kobe, and he left a letter in a student's desk, a girl's desk, saying, if you have a crush on the teacher, give some sort of sign, right? Now, at first, that could have been written by anyone, as you'd expect. You know, you never know who could have written that. It's a little bit odd, though. What sort of sign are they expecting? Anyway, the letter quickly became a topic of gossip, right? So the student, she showed it to her classmates. She even showed it to the 30-something male teacher to ask if he knew who wrote it. And he was like, no, I don't know who's written this. This is a mystery. And then one day when the teacher was alone with the girl in the classroom, apparently asked her, so do you actually like me then? Revealing that he was kind of the guy he wanted to know. And apparently he revealed it was him because he found the girl to be admirable for doing lots of homework or some weird excuse like that. Anyway, he did get reprimanded for it.
Reprimanded?
But it's all a bit dodgy.
Just reprimanded. Just reprimanded.
I think he's lost his job. But yeah, in the UK, that would be fast track to prison, wouldn't it?
Pretty much, yeah. There'd be some kind of group from Facebook, like what do you call it when you're an illegal police force? Vigilante. There'd be like an anti-pedo vigilante group chasing you around the streets. That's how it works.
I mean, what an odd bod. What was he expecting to happen? It's pretty worrying stuff, isn't it?
Well, I think what he was expecting to happen is even worse than what he actually did. You know what I mean? Good Lord. Grow up. Grow up. Find someone your own age, you weirdo. And that's what I think about that.
You'd make a great judge, wouldn't you? The law.
See you on
Pete Donaldson's
standards. See you on Nonswing. See you on
B-Wing. You weirdo.
Get out.
Straight
to prison. Go to prison. Unbelievable scenes. right.
Dear, dear.
Next email from the news. Next news item. Restaurant manager arrested for armed robbery of his own restaurant.
Yes, so this is a story I found. It's actually not recent. I was reading just online the other day I came across this story, which piqued my interest. Apparently, the manager of a restaurant in Saga Prefecture in the south, he was managing a yakitori grilled chicken skewer restaurant, right? Mm. And he went in holding a knife and ordered the staff to hand over all the money. And then the staff recognised the voice, this masked man. They recognised it and they went, oh, isn't that you, Mr. Sato? Mr. Sato, the manager, removed his mask and went, yes, good. Watch out for robberies. This was a training exercise. And they went, oh, right, yeah. Although, obviously, no manager has ever done that because it's a ridiculous thing to do. And then he carried on. He called the police a few weeks later, saying that two people had come in and stolen 300,000 yen, which is about £2,000 or $2,600. And it turned out that he'd actually just taken it himself and had embezzled all the money himself. But the fact that he tried to rob a place that he managed, where all the staff knew who he was. What is wrong with this man? This is like the premise of a fantastic comedy, isn't it?
Oh, it's insane. I just like the fact that he kind of goes in and they go, are you Mr. Sato? And then he goes, that was a training exercise, watch out for robberies. And that was it. Oh, my God. I mean, thinking on his feet, it's not bad, is it?
It's like you trying to rob Absolute Radio.
Yeah.
With like a very distinctive voice. And trying to do a stupid voice.
Then I've used all my stupid voices. They know what my stupid voices sound like. Dreadful. Very, very weird. Oy, oy, oy. Good old Mr. Sato.
What else in the news? Well, Japan seems to have an obsession with clear drinks at the moment. I don't know why. I've never really got it. Not only has Asahi released a kind of coffee latte that's clear, but Coca-Cola Japan has also released Clear Coke this month, which is Coke that's clear. And it's got no calories, no colour, but apparently it tastes the same as regular Coke.
It must be like regular Diet Coke, surely, because I remember in the 90s, you probably don't remember this, but there was a Tab Clear, which is quite a big deal. I think it went for a little bit longer in America, but over here, I think it lasted for about 6 months.
Yeah, so Coke Clear was actually a thing, right?
Yeah, for quite a while, Coke. Yeah. Yeah. but...
How can that work?
Well, I think the bigger leap is milky teas. How can you make a clear milky tea? And also clear liquid coffee. How do you do that? How do you turn it from brown to... Oh, it's almost like something Jesus might do.
It is, isn't it? It's up there with the miracles. Turning coffee, brown coffee into clear coffee. That's what Jesus would have done. I've yet to try these two drinks, but I will try them. I might even put them in a video.
Mate, well, so, if we've learned nothing else, just film you drinking a clear Coke going, yeah, it tastes a bit like Coke, but it's clear. 100 million
views. It's the sort
of
thing that would do well, depressingly.
Hugely.
Right, as a YouTuber, people just love reviewing products. Like, I remember a few years ago, I made a video about Kit Kats. Kit Kats in Japan are like a big thing for some reason. Whilst Kit Kats are like a disposable cheap chocolate bar in the West, in Japan, they're kind of seen as this decadent, luxurious, wonderful confectionery. And you get all these different flavours like strawberry and... I'm trying to think of a flavour now. Wasabi.
It's like wasabi. Wasabi's pretty popular. Wasabi's a big one, isn't it? Yeah, it kind of works, though, isn't it? It's very peppery. It's basically mixing the sweet with the kind of peppery kind of...
Yeah, it does. It actually works. I remember last year I made a video in a capsule hotel in Ginza, and I bought a pack of wasabi Kit Kats, and I just ate them all on camera, just to review them. And then I went to bed in the capsule, and I just couldn't sleep because my stomach was on fire from all of the wasabi Kit Kats I'd just consumed.
Well, I remember watching that video before I met you, and I remember thinking, "It's a lot of Kit Kats before
Dickhead.
Bed." That's a lot of Kit
point.
Kats. Yeah. Yeah, so it is fascinating, like walking into like a Don Quixote or like a department store or something and seeing an unnamed department store and seeing like just loads of like really fancy boxes for Kit Kats and stuff. They are seen as being well decadent. I'm yet to see a Kit Kat chunky, to be honest, but maybe they're coming. Imagine a Kit Kat chunky but wasabi flavoured. Oh,
you can get them. They're rare. My favourite. The best Kit Kat flavour I had this year was banana flavour.
Oh, that would
actually
work.
Actually worked quite well.
Yeah.
Banana Kit Kat.
But again, you know, that's something we think, like, I think when you're a filmmaker, you kind of overthink stuff, but it is just film yourself eating some bloody Kit Kats going, here are the new flavours, here's a new review, here's some coolish.
Secret of success, yeah. YouTuber.
Yeah.
Review some things. One idea I've got actually at the moment I'm thinking about doing is... instant noodle video, reviewing things like cup noodle and instant ramen. Because there's loads of varieties, right? You've probably seen in a convenience store or a supermarket. There are just so many damn varieties. And I thought it'd be quite fun to review them. Only thing is, they are disturbingly unhealthy. The amount of like salt and cornstarch and diabetes they put in each one. If I had like four bowls back to back, I think it'd be the end of me. So that's the only thing that's preventing me from doing it.
They
I'm
are very
genuinely
heavy,
worried
aren't
about
they?
My health.
I mean, like each packet of like ramen noodles in the main. So I don't know, it's 600 calories each one. Like, which isn't ideal if you're having more than one bowl. But God,
when you crack it open
delicious.
And just see, you crack open the bowl, this styrofoam bowl, and there's just these hard-looking noodles inside. At first, you think, oh, God, how can this be good? But you pour some hot water on, give it 5 minutes, job done. It's
bloody
the
delicious.
Meal from heaven.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
I have cup
nice.
Noodle once every 2 or 3 weeks, I'd say.
Oh, they're very
I'm
good.
Feeling a bit lazy.
They're very easy to make, and they're just so delicious. There's this kimchi-flavoured one around the corner from me that I occasionally indulge in when I'm feeling rather lazy. But it's kind of hard. Like, I'm trying to sort of lose weight myself a little bit, because it's just, like, my fighting weight is 10.
You're thin.
My fighting weight is 10 stone, but I've just got a little old man's belly, see? And so I'm rocking around the about 11 sort of stone weight. So I'm trying to consume around about 1,300 calories every day. And it's eminently doable. You'd think it wouldn't be, but it really is eminently doable. And just choosing the right things. Eating a lot of chicken.
Like,
you say a lot of chicken.
Like not Kit Kats.
Yeah, that's
Kit Kats
and
not
that's the thing,
ramen.
Though, isn't it? And it's like, I think... with me, the problem with me is A, I like beer and lots of it at the weekend. I don't drink during
you
the
do.
Week. And also candy. I like candy. So like after I've had a meal, I got into this routine. My whole life after a meal, I would have to eat something sweet, which is just stupid. Because like it's just silly. Have a banana or something. But I'm trying
exactly.
my best.
That's how I lost weight, actually, a few years ago. And how I'm doing it now, actually, is I kind of feel the same way. I feel like I need something sweet. But rather than have Kit Kats and chocolate biscuits, I've substituted it for fruit. Like now I have like a mango or peach or banana or something. It's far more, it's far healthier, right? And much more satisfying. Afterwards, you feel healthy and not so guilty. So that's one thing to take away from this podcast. It is eat fruit instead of cake and Kit Kats.
I've just remembered that I bought three packs of natto and they're in the fridge upstairs. So
fermented soybeans.
Might get involved with that a little bit later on.
Sitting there in Soho, pot noodle in one hand, natto
rotten,
in the other.
Eating rotten natto with my other hand.
British dream.
Oy, oy, oy.
Let's dive in
to
the fax machine.
Let's dive into some emails. Lovely.
Because we've had quite a lot of emails piling up, especially after Natsuki the movie.
Yes.
We've had a bit of an influx of emails from you guys. So let's dive in. What have we got, Pete?
Shall we go with Alex's? We were going to read this one out last week, but we'll put it in this one now. Hi, guys. Hi, guys. After watching the critically acclaimed Natsuki the movie recently, I just have a quick and somewhat personal question for Chris, please. In it, Chris mentions how Natsuki was the first person with whom he formed a meaningful connection after a year or so of being in Japan. Therefore, I was intrigued as to how he felt in the period between first moving there and first meeting Natsuki and what he did to keep himself busy when he didn't know many people there. I asked this as a teacher who's considering teaching abroad. I often think about doing so in Japan as I visited a few cities there last summer and loved it. However, one of the main things that unnerves me about this is starting afresh, especially in terms of a social life. Much love, Alex. It's difficult, isn't it, Chris?
It's difficult.
It's difficult.
Actually, Tina, you know what? The first year wasn't really an issue because I did what all teachers in Japan do and just hung around with other foreigners. And it kind of helped me ease into Japan a little bit. That first year, if I wasn't hanging out with foreigners and just drinking and just hanging out with foreigners, drinking, I wouldn't have. I was just sitting inside studying Japanese. And I don't know, I found the people where I lived in Yamagata to be quite shy. But I think it was just me. The reason I didn't make many friends, many Japanese friends, was down to me not going out and making an effort. And because I didn't know any Japanese, I felt a bit uncomfortable and a bit shy. It limited my options, to be honest. But it didn't really feel like an issue because of the foreign community. And you'll find that if you come here to teach English, no matter where you're placed in Japan, even in the far-flung countryside like I was, you're still going to have foreign people around, other foreign teachers you can mix with and hang out with. And there's always a good, strong network there. But what I will say is don't get too attached to it. Make sure you still try and get involved with the Japanese community. And in my second year, I went from having no friends to having like four or five really strong Japanese friends. And my whole experience changed. And that's when I knew that I wanted to stay in Japan longer. I think if I hadn't met Natsuki and at the time I had a Japanese girlfriend and I hadn't dated her and met various Japanese friends along the way and stayed in the foreigner community, then I probably would have left Japan after 2 years because I would have felt like, oh, I'm done. You know, I've kind of seen everything.
Done that, yeah.
But by going into by really immersing myself in the culture and meeting people, it kind of drew me deeper into Japan and made me realise there was a lot more to it than the foreigner bubble. So, yeah, I think it's not an issue, Alex. Good luck to you. Do go for it. And remember, don't mix with too many foreigners for too much of the time. Get out there.
Yeah, thank you for your email.
Find your Natsuki.
Alex, find your Natsuki.
At night, look, just go in the street and Natsuki or someone like Natsuki will just find you walking down the street. They'll go, foreigner, and then they'll come over and then they'll be your best friend and you'll make a movie about them. The end.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And to my surprise, I stumbled across a secret, sexy club.
Wow.
Dear Chris and Pete, a question for the both of you, all the way from North Carolina.
Ooh la la!
Pete, as someone who frequently goes to Japan, what's one thing or place or activity you must or wouldn't mind doing every trip you make? Chris, I wanted to theme your question around Natsuki the movie. You've made a range of videos from your assimilation into Japanese culture, learning Japanese, vlogs, travel information, and now even a movie. What's the next video style or theme you want to do next? And please answer the video as Chad from Seattle. All the best from Zeke.
Who's Chad from Seattle?
Chad from Seattle is my alter ego.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Zeke must have watched a video I made a while back with on another channel where I talked about how, basically, I got a hate mail once. Somebody said I was fake. Mm. Somebody was like, oh, you're fake, Chris, Abroad Japan. And I was going to make a whole sketch where I pretended to be this guy, Chad, from Seattle. And I was going to pretend like it was all a joke. And I was going to be like, oh, this whole time has just been a big joke. Like, I'm actually making these videos out of my parents' garage in Seattle. And I was going to click my fingers, and like this green screen was going to come down behind me and like just kind of reveal that I was in Seattle. It was going to be really clever,
aww,
but it didn't happen. Well, I realised it was too much effort.
Maybe that will be your next video, the Chad from Seattle rebirth 2.0.
Chad from Seattle. What a name, Chad. I don't know why I chose Chad either.
Well, Chad is the name that those, you know, those incel lads who can't get girlfriends, and so instead of, you know, dealing with their own shortcomings, they decide that women are the enemy and that they should be punished. Just another thing wrong with 2018, basically. They always call the jocks Chads. And they always called the girls Stacey. Right. So the big muscle men who are getting all the girls, they're known as the jocks, basically. They're known as Chads. So that name forever has been tainted for me. And also during the election that elected, I think, George Bush, the hanging Chad, the voting mechanism dictated that you had to punch a hole in a voting paper. And there were a lot of hanging Chads, which meant that George Bush was put into office when perhaps he didn't deserve it, if you believe.
If you are named Chad, please do comment on this.
Yeah, apologies, Chad.
You are Chad from Seattle, or Chad in general, do drop us a message.
Yeah, Chads
to confirm.
Are much maligned these days. I worry about the about the psyche of the Chad guys. Get in touch.
Chads of the world.
How are you feeling, Chads? Let us know.
But to answer Zeke's question, what is it you would frequently, you know, what is it in Japan, one thing you would frequently do or you have to do every trip you make?
What's that big park in Shinjuku? That's quite nice. That's in front of that
Shinjuku Park.
Shinjuku Park. there was that great story where that old man was just letting all the foreigners into Shinjuku Park for nothing because he didn't know enough English to ask for cash. That's beautiful. So I do that pretty much every time. But also, I always take people to the it's called Alcatraz ER. It's a rather rundown theme restaurant in Shibuya. Just in the Love Hotel district, that basically it's a cross between a prison hospital and a prison, and it's just a weird little experience.
It's a bar, it's like a restaurant where you get locked up,
weird foods,
cocktails with silly names like drug overdose.
Yeah,
and stuff,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah, so syringes and also weirdly sex toys and
street,
stuff.
Mate,
there's,
yeah.
There's like drinks with like butt plugs in them and stuff, and it's just like, and the woman or man will come over and go, "This has been in my bum, ha ha ha," and everyone goes, "Oh, it's disgusting," and they have like curries that have been dyed blue. Yeah, it's not fine dining. It's pretty...
And that's the one thing you do every time you come to Japan. You go to a restaurant theme like a prison in San Francisco with horrific jargon. Wouldn't expect anything else from you.
No, exactly. And obviously the bar Rockaholic in Shibuya as well. I always go there as well. That's my favourite bar.
So basically, in summary, you just drink when you come to Japan.
Look, I'm on holiday, Chris. You know, for you, this is life. For me, it's a holiday.
Every
mate.
Day's a holiday for you, then, Pete.
Doesn't feel like it. We're coming to the World Cup, for crying out loud. I do a football podcast, it's a nightmare.
I suppose you have to drink if you're doing a football podcast.
Oi, oi.
As for me, what videos I'm going to do next, I'm actually going to. I've got a few documentaries lined up, mini documentaries, but above all, the big cycle across Japan, which is going to happen in October, September time. I'm reverting to vlog format for that. And so I'll be trying to work out how to make a video every single day for 30 days while I'm travelling across Japan. And I'm assembling a team of elite people who can edit and film stuff. So I'll literally just be on the bike cycling along, presenting the journey and promoting it, but I won't be editing it or filming it. So that's the next format, I guess.
I mean,
putting out loads of content in a short space of time that's not shit. Because most daily vlogs aren't that great, are they? It's just, oh, I'm going to go buy a sandwich today. Oh, look, this is a great sandwich. It's got strawberries in it. And it's just, I don't know how people do daily vlogs. And I don't know why people watch them, really.
I mean,
with some notable exceptions.
I mean, Chris says he's invested in, you know, a team. He's basically bought a selfie stick. That's his investment. He's bought one selfie stick. You're right, though. Kind of anything like that, any sort of daily vlog sort of thing is actually quite... It's actually quite difficult if you've got any level of self-control or self-respect or quality control, because it's just wittering on, isn't it, most of the time? Like, it's just people going, thinking that their opinion about something is more important than anything, and it's just, it's lazy and naff, and it's really hard to make them good, but I'm sure anyone who's, you know, haven't got rocks in their heads, like you, Chris, will be able to make a success of them. I'm sure people will be watching
it. I don't know, but as far as I know, there is no rock in my head, but... I'm going to try my best to make every single vlog interesting. And it should be, because we're going across Japan, right?
Yeah,
it's not like me in my everyday life where I'm just sitting at my desk eating a box of chicken and feeling depressed. Like, it's going to be fun. So hopefully it'll work. Mm. So that's my plan, Zeke, and thank you for your question.
Lovely old job.
Which gave us with our extremely long answer.
The next one comes from Tom. Regarding Pete's accent, I was born and raised in South London and consider anything north of Camden to be quite alien. It is true. People from London, anything north of Birmingham, they're like, what the hell? Actually, not even north of Birmingham, north
anything
of Watford.
North of London for me.
Yeah, north of Watford. It's like, whoa, it's just so exotic.
North of Watford. It's like the edge of the map. I don't know what goes on there. Especially where you're from. That's like... I don't know. I can't even imagine such a place.
Well, we're just like out of the sticks. Imagine like I'm trying to think. We've got like a lot of there's a lot of shipbuilding there. So like imagine like a really small shipbuilding.
Oh, shipbuilding! Right.
That's what you used to do when you were a kid. You used to put your fingers in your mouth like that and pull them apart like a clown and say, "My dad works in a shipyard." But if you pull your lips apart, I don't work in a shipyard. Ha ha! It sounds like shit. There we go.
Sort of commentary that you get on Absolute Radio.
Exactly.
From Pete Donaldson.
But
what's the actual question?
What was the question? He likes my accent, and also I can confirm that the way that Chris says the email address is pretty darn slurry. Apparently, old slaver lips.
What?
Chris over there. The question, though, is what do you both think of the robot restaurant in Shinjuku, a.k.a. the best thing I've ever done in my life? My wife has repeatedly asked me not to keep telling people that, bearing in mind that presumably you got married at some point. Thank you, Tom. Robot restaurant. I've never been, Chris, to be honest. In all my trips, I've never been. Dreadful, isn't it?
I'm taking you in October. We have to go at least once. You have to go at least one time. I mean... Every music video ever has now been shot at Robot Restaurant, yeah. It seems. I saw a video with Ed Sheeran and Taylor Swift out. I think it was in January. I can't remember what that song was called, but they filmed that at the Robot Restaurant. Yeah. It was... Robot Restaurant, I've been to it 3 times now, I think. Mm. I used to always take friends there because people loved it. It was kind of a wacky, crazy thing. It was a lot better back in the day when I first filmed it in 2012 as... It was tailored towards a Japanese audience then.
Right.
And it was a lot more like a burlesque cabaret performance for adults. It was a lot more adult, a little bit more extreme, I felt. Whereas now, the last time I was there, nearly every single person at Robot Restaurant was foreign. And yeah. That's not an exaggeration. The first time I went, I was the only foreigner in this giant room, lots of Japanese salarymen waving glow sticks around. That's what it looks like. And then... Now it is mostly foreigners. Yeah. It's one of the biggest foreign attractions in all of Tokyo, actually. And yet it's still quite entertaining. It is pretty funny, and you do go in and wonder what's going on. You do lose sight of your sanity while you're in there because it's these women come out riding robots, and then there's a big battle between a giant robot snake and a giant robot dinosaur. And there's this voiceover in English that really is so awful. It's like the voiceover was done by Natsuki. it doesn't make much sense. I think they ran it through Google Translate or something. But yeah, you've got to go and look at it, and I'll take you there in October. So if you are coming to Japan, I recommend it.
Yeah.
If you're coming to Japan, you've got a few days in Tokyo, do go. Mm. It's like 2 hours. I think it's about $50, which is a lot, but yeah, try it. But don't get the bento box dinner. It's rubbish. Absolute rubbish.
What do you mean? Like it's just not very not very good.
Well, you get like a you can pay extra for a dinner and right. Get like a little bento box while you watch it.
Ah.
But it's rubbish.
Yeah, just have
don't
a beer.
Get it.
Just have a beer. Enjoy it.
Don't get it. Love listening to your podcast in the car. Keep up the good work. My question is: are there any good beach holiday destinations in Japan?
Ooh.
Would you recommend anywhere? I was thinking of going to Japan with my girlfriend 1 week, lazing by a beach, and 1 week exploring Tokyo and Kyoto. Jonathan.
Oh, hello, Jonathan.
Jonathan, the answer is Okinawa.
Oh, okay. Okinawa. Right, okay. Yeah.
You didn't sound convinced then.
Well, no.
What was that?
I was trying to remember is that the loads of islands at the bottom? Like, because you can sort of island
it
top
the
a
loads
bit,
of islands
you?
At the bottom. Yeah.
Beautiful.
The loads
yeah.
of islands at the bottom. It's
I imagine it's very underrated as a beach holiday.
You say that, but I think it's regarded as one of the top tropical resorts in the world.
Really?
Recently.
Well, I sort of look at I'm going to head out to Korea at some point next month, and I'm doing Seoul and then flying down to Jeju.
I'm going to Korea next month.
Are you when? When are you in Korea?
I can't can't remember the date. Sometime around the end of June, early July.
End of July. I'm going late July. But I'm doing Seoul and then flying over to Jeju, which is the busiest flight path in the world, apparently. Seoul to Jeju, which is Jeju is like the little island off the bottom of Korea, and they because it's such a popular resort, basically. So there we go.
Yeah.
So leave a bit for me,
Chris.
There
you go, Okinawa and Jeju. But Okinawa though is a beautiful paradise. It's funny, I never really wanted to go there, but then I ended up going there for a Odigo travel website project 2 years ago now,
right.
I think, and I went with lots of other vloggers, and we went snorkeling, and I remember just going under the water and being able to see for like a kilometre under the sea, which was just so amazing and magical and rare, given that, well, for me it was a revelation, because the water in the UK, you can't see more than a foot, but the water's beautiful, temperature's hot, the sand is magnificent, the food's quite good, and the locals are very nice and friendly. Okinawa. If you can spare 3 or 4 days, I'd definitely go to Okinawa, to be honest.
Chris,
yes. Go to Okinawa.
Chris kissed a mermaid. Right, to Jack Huang.
I've kissed a sea lion and a dolphin.
Have you kissed a sea lion?
But not a mermaid.
Oh, that'd be lovely.
I've kissed a sea lion.
I mean, they've got those little...
It was the most weird, surreal experience.
Do they smell
and
a fish?
He sort of laughed as I did it. He went... And I was like, oh. Excitement.
Oh, they are so adorable. I love a seal or a sea lion. There's a seal that comes up down Billingsgate Market, which isn't, like, massively outside London. It's just, you know, on the corner of the Thames, basically.
Yeah.
They moved out a little bit further, but it's still very much in London. But it's just on the Thames. And the Thames is like a filthy river. It's disgusting. If you jump in there, you will get hepatitis. But there's a little seal that comes up when Billingsgate finish with their fish, they chuck the, you know, fish heads into the sea. And there's a sea lion, there's a seal that comes up every morning and gets fed fish and then, you know, leaves.
No way.
It's adorable. Adorable little seal.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
He comes up the Thames.
Comes up the Thames, right up the Thames, past the barrier, right that far. Amazing.
And he's alive.
And he's
swimming through the Thames.
I know.
Doesn't die in a sea of sewage and
carrier bags
poison.
And shopping trolleys and old Boris bikes. Yeah.
Tough seal.
tough old bird. Yeah. What was I going to say? Do you want to take Jack Huang's email, or do you want because you haven't watched Isle of Dogs yet? Basically, it's a film related. Film-related email.
What's that? Oh God. Hello, Chris and Pete. In the giant takoyaki video, which is a video I did on another channel called Tokyo Creative, I had to make a giant ball of takoyaki.
I watched that.
Fried octopus ball.
I watched that, Chris, and I was genuinely impressed with both the technique and also, I really want a giant takoyaki now, and I've never seen one in real life.
You know what? I didn't think I was going to be able to cook it, because you have to sort of
flip the batter,
you pour it in, then you have to put like octopus and seaweed and mayonnaise and Worcester sauce, and it actually came out all right. I pulled it off. I was really happy. Go and watch the video and see me succeed at cooking something for once. But in the giant takoyaki video, Chris told us that he has been watching a film every day for months. Can Chris share with us any gems he's discovered in the process? All the best from Taipei, Jack Huang. Jack, best film I've seen in a while. I like Logan. That was a good film.
That was good,
from last year, admittedly. Logan, that was the first superhero film I've seen in a long time that I thought, yes, this is it. Unlike Deadpool 2, which I watched just last week, I didn't really like Deadpool 2. Have you seen it?
No, I've not even seen the first one, to be honest, but I've seen it's more of the same I've been hearing.
It's more of the same. It's the thing is, there's a lot of humour in it, and it's very hit and miss.
Yeah.
I'd say like one in every five jokes, you kind of go, that's good.
Right.
But when you put so many jokes in the script, every moment when there's something happening, when there's something that's not supposed to be laughed at, it kind of derails the moment a little bit.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know, I just found the... It just removed me from the film. Also, he breaks the fourth wall a heck of a lot and calls himself Ryan Reynolds. So, it doesn't really work. You become very self-aware that you're watching a film that's been made by humans and it's just people acting. So there's a fine line between breaking the fourth wall and they break it too much. So I didn't really like Deadpool 2.
Yeah.
What other films have I watched? I still haven't seen the Isle of Dogs.
It's
I know I said two podcasts ago, I'm going to reward myself for doing Natsuki the movie by finally seeing the Isle of Dogs, or Isle of Dogs, because it's come out in Japan.
Yeah.
But the cinema down the road in Sendai, it's only on at 9 a.m. in the morning. And I don't get up till about 11 a.m. at the moment because my body clock is proper screwed.
Yeah.
Proper screwed. It's the technical term. And so I just can't get up in the morning for it. But I'm working my way up to it. This Saturday, I'm going to try and get up at about 8. I've got to get up at least 7:30 to make it in there and watch it. So, yes. I'm going to do it, Pete. Believe in me. Do you believe in me, Pete? Do you believe in me?
No, because your sleeping pattern is very similar to mine.
No,
it's like
brilliant.
2 a.m. Up till 2 a.m. Sleep until about 9. So yeah, it's a ridiculous time to put on a film, really.
It's a shame.
Never mind.
I hate it. I love getting up early in the morning, but my body clock is just screwed, and I can't fix it. And there's nothing I could do other than knock myself out with a hammer at around 10 p.m. and hope I wake up early the next morning.
Yeah, even when because I'm doing like drive time at the moment, so I'm not up until past midnight, but I still wake up later than 8. So that's not early, is it?
Yeah.
For most people.
Three films though for you, Jack, that I recommend watching that I give a 9 out of 10. Mm. Shape of Water, by Del Toro. That was a very good film. Really enjoyed that. Bridge of Spies with Tom Hanks, Tom Hanks, directed by Steven Spielberg. That was a really good film. And Last King of Scotland. I mean, that came out 2006, but the performance in that by Forest Whitaker is amazing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Watch those three films. All 9 out of 10. All worth watching.
Is it Mark Rylance in Bridge of Spies is very good? Sort of like...
He's very good, yeah.
Would it help if I was nervous?
The dude from... Dunkirk, right?
Yeah, that's the fella. He's the guy who has the boat.
He's
incredible,
a very good
incredible actor.
Yeah.
He's he can kind of, he was in Ready Player One, and they'd sort of made him look younger with technology, and it was actually quite harrowing. It's like, oh no!
Another Steven Spielberg film. Mm,
yes, of course.
Steven Spielberg must love it.
There's a bit of Rylance
And Chris Nolan.
If you look at what was I watching a few days ago? I watched a film with Woody Harrelson in. It was Woody Harrelson's directorial debut. Now, usually when big Hollywood actors decide to go behind the camera, they just do like a softball romantic comedy or drama or something. He didn't do that because he's brilliant. He went to London and filmed a live film.
I heard about that.
It was incredible.
Yeah, he filmed a film. It was live, right?
Yeah.
So how did that actually work?
Well, he basically just... I don't know, to be honest. It really is. Just things like... Just simple stuff like the mics, you know what I mean? Because he transfers from taxi to prison to nightclub, to all of these places, to bathroom in a nightclub, stuff like that. And all the times the cameras are able to follow him, the lighting is great, and it looks amazing. And there's so many sort of really interesting tricks they employ to get things in people's mouths, get things out of people's mouths.
What's
stuff like
it
that.
Called?
It's called Lost in London Live. I think it's out now. I must admit, I saw it on a hooky stream, Naughty Boy. But it's basically a romp through London, a man, Woody Harrelson, trying to keep his life together. It's his directorial debut, and it's a beautiful piece of work. Very, very skillfully, deftly done. They filmed it around London, and they had like a screening in 200 cinemas in the US, and also a couple here. And the couple here were like, I think, at the start and the end points of where the film was set. It was basically being filmed in the night. So it's like weird, so weird.
That could be really good. I mean, obviously, it sounds a bit of a novel concept,
yeah.
But if it, you know. Technically,
no, but when,
sounds like one hell of an achievement.
When you watch
it's definitely
these,
worth watching.
When you watch like EastEnders, when they do like one of the popular soap series like EastEnders or Coronation Street, they'll occasionally to bolster views to get the viewers in. They'll do a live show. They'll do like a live episode, and the amount of mistakes in that is just such a joke. And people go, oh, sort of laugh it off and go, well, you know, it's live. People, you know, occasionally mess up. Like the amount of times actors will talk to another actor, and instead of using their character name, they're using their acting name. But with this film, nobody misses a step. Like, Owen Wilson's great. A few other, like, pretty... Like, Willie Nelson's in it, and he doesn't miss a step. They're all fantastic. So, well done,
in the heat
Woody
of the
Harrelson.
Moment, they pulled it off.
Yeah, well done, Woody Harrelson. Professional. Oi, oi, oi. That's about it for us, I think, isn't it? We've run out of time once again.
It is. We've rushed around the clock here. Thank you for sending your questions in, guys. Do send in more to abroadjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We're always looking for more funny stories, more questions, send them into the fax machine. We'll be back same time next week on Wednesday, but wherever you are out there in the big wide world, thanks for listening and have a great day. Bye.
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 Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.